Welcome to Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens has been adapted for the stage and screen countless times, including this classic 1938 version.
Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time? A time for paying bills without money. A time for finding yourself a year older, not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot that goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
A recent adaptation of A Christmas Carol takes it to the border. A Christmas Carol en la Frontera was first debuted in 2018 by the Department of Theater and Dance at the University of Texas at El Paso. The pandemic has taken this year's performance from the stage to the radio. Both the stage play and this year's one-hour radio play were adapted from Dickens' 1843 original by Adriana Dominguez and Jay Stratton. They took into account the English, Spanish, and Spanglish spoken freely on the border and in the American Southwest and intertwined it with Dickens' famous lines. You'll get to hear an excerpt from the radio play later in the show. But first, we'll talk with Adriana Dominguez and with the show's director, Greg Thompson. Dominguez talks about the origins of A Christmas Carol en la Frontera.
So UTEP has actually done A Christmas Carol in some iterations since 2006. And then in 2018 is when we did our first Christmas Carol en la Frontera. So that summer of 2018, Jay and I worked on revamping the piece and making it more pertinent to our community. I mean, I love the story of A Christmas Carol, but so much of it has nothing to do with how I experience Navidad. I mean, I've never had a Christmas goose. You know, I don't know those things. And so, you know, we did a lot of research. I did a lot of, you know, just talking a lot to my parents, which was lovely, to in-laws and family. And again, it's not necessarily one exact story because everyone experiences differently. But just in terms of like, oh, what kind of language, you know, would work here? What kind of word would resonate? And so we went through many, many drafts because we did it on stage for 2 years. And that was the plan for this year. And Greg was going to be our director to do the stage show again. But then changing it to radio was another challenge. But for me, it was a beautiful experience, even though it was a lot of work. But to kind of reconnect with more of my traditions, to remember, you know, Christmases when I was younger. And so it was definitely a labor of love figuring it out.
Well, Greg, as Adriana was saying, this is the kind of story that not too many people can relate to. Charles Dickens' original novella, as universal as the themes are, the specifics of the story don't necessarily translate very well to communities living on the border, living in the Southwest. And of course, this book by Charles Dickens, it's a lengthy one. Stage productions are also rather lengthy. And here, because of the pandemic, again, as Adriana was saying, you got to take it off the stage, you got to put it on the radio, and you've got to somehow make the listener see what they're supposed to be seeing, perhaps on a stage play, and imagine the costumes, the timeline. What were your specific challenges in directing this particular version of A Christmas Carol in La Frontera?
You know, I think part of it is that I don't think that people outside of the acting community understand that acting is really about your body. You know, a lot of people go, oh, it's about emotional. But emotions are a byproduct of a journey that you're taking. So the body has to carry you into the journey first, and then you react to what you get. And so point being in that if you've done voice work, one of the things you know is you need your whole body. I mean, just as an example, I'll go, stop. But if I can use my whole body, go, stop. We don't realize how much we use our body when we communicate, in other words. So to make sure that the actors, first of all, trusted themselves to be sitting in their homes doing these weird things with their bodies in order to be able to imagine that you're in the settings. We talked a lot about the setting to draw those pictures in their heads. I shared how I would stage the scenes if we had been on stage, and asked them to try to hold those images and imagine yourself in that place, in those clothes, and your body taking you into the journey so that the body can inform the voice so that the audience does get more of a sense of this is a reality. This is not just people sitting around reading a play. So that was one of the big ones, is trying to help them get there and use their whole set of tools as actors and not just depend on the voice.
Well, Adriana, another challenge is not having the actors being able to play off themselves, because, of course, this is a very pandemic-influenced program. We can't have a bunch of actors on stage or in a studio voicing those parts playing against each other. So you have to, as an actor, imagine how that other person is responding. You don't have anybody to play off of.
Yeah. And also, you know, when we would do this on stage, we would have many more people, because that was a challenge, too. Typically, we would have a cast of 25 to 30. But, you know, we're in a different space, different time. And so Greg had 16 people to work with. All rehearsals were distance over Zoom, which is really different because there's a we all have these worlds going on around us. Like right now, like my daughter's in PE right now on her computer as we're talking. And so, you know, everyone's having to deal with all of these very different distractions. And I think Greg did a fabulous job of making sure that they were still invested in this experience and still connecting, you know, as much as possible over a screen. And I think, you know, people will hear in that dialogue that people were still really connecting in that story. And that's a huge challenge. And I think for our students and community members, everyone learned a lot, like a lot in this process, 100%.
One of the things that I want to say about the production that's kind of neat is that what I really wish is that I could give the audiences the experience we had making it. It was so much fun. And people were on time. You could tell they were excited to be there. And that's when you know something good is really going. You know, they show up every time. They show up on time. They're ready to start. And you don't have to call them down. They're just ready to go. And we got that. It was really fun.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the specifics of A Christmas Carol in La Frontera. Adriana, where and when is this production set?
So we don't say it. We say it's La Frontera, but we can definitely assume it's our frontera. In the stage version, we definitely have our beautiful mountains in the background, and we would have the beautiful star on the mountain come up. So we're trying to elicit that, you know, in the radio show. And we're looking at the late 1800s, early 1900s in this piece, and you'll hear some allusions to that in the piece. But we don't specifically say it, but we love our frontera here.
So there's no references to Chico's Chacos in the show?
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
Not on this round. Maybe the next round we do it, Norma.
Well, let's talk about how the characters' names may have been altered. I heard there's a Roberto Cratchit in there.
Absolutely. Everyone, you know, their name has shifted. A huge element to the story is also about who we would consider Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, and his loss and his fight for identity. And I think a lot of us in La Frontera have that struggle of where do I belong? How do I fit? And we see that in Ebenezer, you know, how he's trying to figure out, you know, is he leaving his Mexican roots behind in order to make money, in order to move forward? And so we see how the language plays into that a lot. You know, like our Tiny Tim is Pequeñito. And so everyone's name definitely reflects La Frontera. And a lot of the scenes are really specific to, you know, what a lot of us might experience in our borderland.
In the studying, I think it's fascinating that, and I've done Christmas Carol several times and admit that I didn't study hard enough. I think one of the things that makes it so universal is, you know, Charles Dickens didn't set out to write the story in the first place. He was writing a letter to the people of England because of the way that the children were being treated in the factories in the Industrial Revolution. And he realized as he was talking about that, that people wouldn't read it, that they would just poo-poo it, and that he had to find a way to get the message to them in a way that they would want to pick it up and want to read it. You know, and I think that because that's its backbone and it's so important that you have to make sure you maintain that. And the thing I love about this production is that I think it does maintain that. It's not heavy-handed, but there is a sort of socially political statement at the center of it that talks about truthfully how we treat each other, how we see each other, how we connect, and or how we don't. And I love that because I see sometimes people adapt the piece and you start to lose that piece of it. And I really do. The more I got into this production and studied it, I feel like Jay and Adriana got that really right, that sense of what goes on the border, has gone on the border, and what we all need to focus on to be able to grow together and treat each other the way we really should, and so on and so forth.
And that's a message I think that's really important in a day and age where we appear to be more divided than ever.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then just I also think having the opportunity to do it through radio has definitely opened a lot of our eyes in terms of access. Clearly, I love theater. I've dedicated my life to it. But not everyone always gets to go or feels welcome to go to the theater. So providing this in a different arena has allowed us to say, hey, everyone, this is for you. And it's free. I mean, our entire season this year is free. We are charging for, you know, none of our productions. We're doing them all virtually or in a distance manner. But it's about making sure that even in these really difficult, challenging, that's not even an appropriate word, but even in these times, art can still really heal and provide connection. And so we always have to make sure that as many people as possible can access it. And I think using radio is going to allow us to do that. And I'm really grateful for that. Even with all of the challenges of this year, I'm really grateful that that can still happen.
Well, Adriana Dominguez, Greg Thompson, it was terrific speaking with you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Adriana Dominguez is an assistant professor and director of theater programs at the Department of Theater and Dance at the University of Texas at El Paso. She co-adapted A Christmas Carol en la Frontera with Jay Stratton. We also spoke with Greg Thompson, a lecturer in the UTIP Theater Department. He directed A Christmas Carol en la Frontera. Coming up, you'll hear an excerpt from A Christmas Carol en la Frontera.
Jacob Marley was dead to begin with. Estaba más muerto que el mar muerto.
That's next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The University of Texas at El Paso's Department of Theater and Dance puts on a production of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol every year. In recent years, the department adapted the story to take place on the border. The pandemic put a halt to stage productions, so some creative minds and talented actors adapted A Christmas Carol en la Frontera to a one-hour radio play. Here's an excerpt from the opening scenes.
For me, Christmas has always been a time of reflection, a time to gather with family and friends to create memories and to remember those who are no longer here to gather with us and to share their stories. And there have been many stories, from the original nativity, the telling of Christ's birth in a lowly stable, heralded by angels, witnessed by shepherds, and celebrated by kings. No other story captures the meaning of Christmas like the Christ child's birth. And perhaps only one other even comes close. Like the nativity, this story has crossed borders and even continents to be passed down from generation to generation. This is the tale of an old man with a heart that was frozen like winter ice, who must learn the true meaning of Christmas before it's too late. I must warn you, his will not be an easy journey. And I should know because I was there. Luckily for us, the story I'm about to share is a wonderful tale. But first things first.
Jacob Marley was dead to begin with. Estaba más muerto que el mar muerto. This must be clearly understood, or nothing wonderful can come of the story I'm about to tell. It is a story that happened many years ago, right here in nuestra ciudad, when I was just a tiny niño. Marley was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge and Marley had been business partners for muchos años. Sometimes people called Scrooge Scrooge, and sometimes Marley.
Bah!
The answer to both names, por dinero, siempre por dinero. He was the tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, un usurero codicioso que estrujaba, apresaba y arrebataba, and people called him Old Turncoat, viejo vendido. En Nochebuena, Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. It was tarde en el día, but even late on Christmas Eve, Old Scrooge 15, was hard at work.
16, and 3 years, 19. The Galicians and Olivas are a full dollar short this month. On your way home, you will serve them an eviction notice.
Por favor, es Nochebuena, señor.
At midnight tonight, The Galicians are to be evicted! ¿Entiendes?
Sí, jefe.
Now, get back to work, Cratchit.
Merry Christmas! Don't be cross, Theo. I've come to you in this holy time of year for a special reason.
Very well. Let's hear it.
As you know, our city is home to many who are poor, who are homeless, who are refugees. These unfortunate souls suffer most keenly during these lean winter months, and so I...
Are there no prisons?
Of course, Theo, many prisons, and so I...
And the workhouses? Are they still in operation?
They are, and so I've...
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
But, Uncle, those places give no cheer, no joy, no esperanza. So I have joined with friends at this festive time of year to raise money. And as you are so very rich,
I am rich, it is because I have worked hard and have not been foolish with my money. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry either. My taxes pay for prisons and the workhouses. Those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't go there, and many would rather die.
If they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population.
Tio! It's Christmas!
Christmas? Well, it's Christmas to you, but a time for paying bills without money. Keep Christmas your own way.
Keep it.
And let me keep it in mine.
But you don't keep it.
Let me leave it alone, then. Much good may it do you. Much good has it ever done you.
Jefe.
Let me hear another sound from you, and you'll keep Christmas by losing your job. Then you'd have a Merry Christmas, eh?
Don't be angry, Theo. More than your charity, I ask for your company. Come, dine with us tomorrow.
Us?
Yes. Me, my friends, and of course, mi esposa.
Ah, yes, your wife. Tell me, nephew, why did you marry?
Oh, why? Because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love! The only thing in the world more ridiculous than a Merry Christmas. Good afternoon.
I am sorry with all my heart to find you so resolute. But I am determined to keep my Christmas humor to the last, so... Merry Christmas, Theo.
Good afternoon!
And a Happy New Year!
And you, Roberto Cratchit.
Lo siento, jefe.
Talking about a Merry Christmas!
Señor Scrooge?
You'll want the whole day off tomorrow, I suppose.
Sí, señor. If it's all right.
It's not all right. And it's not fair. But I suppose you must have it.
Gracias, señor. Also,
Yes? Are you loitering at my desk for some reason, Cratchit?
Es Nochebuena, señor.
So I am given to understand.
My youngest hijo, Tomás, we call him Tomasito, he loves Nochebuena, señor. Es su día favorito del año. But Tomasito, well, he does not feel well. So I say to my esposa that he grows stronger, but then she says that no, she's getting like...
Cratchit! Are you going to stand here and elucidate for me the medical history of each member of your seemingly endless family tree, or are you going to come to the point?
Lo siento, señor. Yo quiero llevar a Tomasito a la posada. Entonces, I wish to leave early...
Leave early, Cratchit. And if I was to dock your wages for it, you'd think yourself ill-used. But you don't think me ill-used when I pay a full day's salary for only a half day's work.
It's only once a year, señor.
A poor excuse for picking my pocket every 24th of December. Well, even in a full day, your work is of little value, I suppose. Be here all the earlier the next morning.
Gracias, jefe. Good night, jefe. Feliz Navidad!
Roberto ran out la puerta, dashed through the city streets, crowded with holiday shoppers, and across the bridge to la casa de su familia to celebrate Nochebuena. Scrooge? Scrooge, on the other hand, stayed late, and by the time he arrived at su casa, it was tarde y oscuro. When Scrooge stepped forward to unlock his door, he saw not his door, but
Marley's face!
Sí, la cara de Marley! Then, as quickly as it had appeared, his face was gone. Scrooge examined la puerta, but finding nothing amiss,
bah!
You've just heard an excerpt of A Christmas Carol in La Frontera. It's a one-hour radio play presented by the Department of Theater and Dance at the University of Texas at El Paso and by public radio station KTEP. It was adapted by Adriana Dominguez and Jay Stratton and directed by Greg Thompson. Find out more about the production and hear it in its entirety at tpr.org. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show online at tpr.org and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Brie Kirkham. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Special thanks this week to Dee Wu, Ian Gilliam, and Rafa Perez. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.